Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the recorded morning service for Sunday the 16th of May from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship on this, the Sunday after the Ascension. Our Lord has returned to his throne in heaven. He is seen no more on earth. Yet he lives and is with us and for all eternity. We are in the presence of our ascended Lord. We celebrate the mystery of our glorious King. Our opening hymn, Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have ascended beyond horizons which our eyes cannot see, and further than the limits which our minds can reach. Blessing and honour and glory and power, our words echo the praise of heaven, as you, Jesus Christ, rise above the limitations of earth to sit forever on the right side of God. No longer restricted to one place, you are seated on the throne of heaven and present in all places. Though now we cannot ascend to where you are, still raise our hopes and hearts that our discipleship in this world may be touched with the glory of heaven, and our lives be signs and promises of the fullness of the life to come. Hallowed be your name in heaven. and followed be your way on earth. Faithful God, you continue with us through the times of parting, breaking, and abandonment. You are the thread which does not break. Stay close by us this day. Even as we sing praise to the ascending Christ, we want to cling to the Jesus we know, for partings leave us confused and bereft. We do not want to walk alone. Forgive us that for all our love and devotion, we remain reluctant to embrace your call to live in the world as if we were alone. Wrap us in the great cloak of your forgiveness, and free us from sufficient doubt that we may be able to journey with the absent Christ. Amen. And our prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Greetings, everyone. It's me, Matthew Moretz, one of the priests here at Christ Church in Rye, New York. And today, we're going to be talking about the Ascension. Have you heard about this?
The account goes that Jesus was lifted up in the presence of his disciples after the resurrection. We celebrate it every year in the church. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't go 2,000 light years away, but he did draw close to the center of all that is true. At the Ascension, Jesus didn't go to space, he went to heaven.
It seems that for the church to be born, Jesus had to go. Well, why couldn't the party just go on forever?
Well, all this ascension talk has me thinking of a certain British nanny who had her own ascension back in the 60s. Hers is an excellent example of how leaving can be a blessing. So you have this family, the Banks family. The children, Jane and Michael, are in need of a babysitter, yes, but there's a deeper need. Their family, with its great potential for giving and receiving the love of God, is missing the mark somehow. So along comes Mary Poppins from the East Wind to repair this family. How does Mary Poppins do this? Through the children. Yes! Yes! First, she gets their attention through her amazing feats of power. It's not walking on water, but it might as well be. Mary has this loving relationship with Bert, a man of many professions, all of them on the lowest rung of society, the kind of person that Jane and Michael would never notice otherwise from their position of privilege.
Jiminy, jim, jiminy, jim, jim, chiroo. Good luck will rub off when I shake hands with...
And what do you know it? They see Mary and Bert loving one another, and they see that Bert, a kind of loser by Banks family standards, doesn't take them to a fearful place. They find some of the most colorful places as they cavort through chalk drawings. They find themselves laughing in the rafters, and then they're prancing about in some sooty heaven above the rooftops of London. And then there's Mary's pièce de résistance. She convinces the father to take them to the bank, but not before singing a song about a lowly bird woman on the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral. She's framed by the statues of the saints and the apostles, a veritable saint herself, for she is not begging, you see. She's a vessel for new life, feeding countless hungry bellies. And imagine how many birds you could feed with just 2 pennies. What better way to spend it? So they go to the bank. Mr. Banks and all the prim bankers sing a song about how important it is to save and invest, and that they are the keepers of the greatest miracle, the power to have money make more money. But for Jane and Michael, this power pales in comparison to the deeper power of money to feed and then fly. Their refusal to give tuppence to the bank results in a public scene that spreads like wildfire. And then somehow the whole banking system is called into question. There's a run on the bank, recession, depression, you name it. And that one act of generosity causes the tables of the money changers to be overturned and the wheels of the British Empire to screech to a grinding halt. The father is blamed for it and fired. In an instant, he becomes no better than a chimney sweep or a street musician. From the underside of life, he sees things anew. Formerly foolish words like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious become fountains of joy. He values his family like never before, and he makes these gifts for them. Like Jesus and the church, if Mary had stuck around with the Banks family, she would have distracted them from being the family that they were called to be. And so she ascends into the London sky. Ooh, I think it stopped raining because her job was done. They now love as she loves. They find joy in the meekest things, especially in each other, united in their gaze toward heaven in a great company of people flying kites. Like the ascension of Mary, the ascension of Jesus doesn't mean that he left us. It's that he burrowed ever deeper into our souls and bodies. The ascension makes space for us to be the actual body of Christ in the world. Not bad. Until next time, have a have a great week.
Father Matthew Presents is a ministry of the Episcopal Church, which welcomes you.
Our second hymn, a setting of the 42nd Psalm. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. My dear Theophilus, in my first book I wrote all about the things that Jesus did and taught from the time he began his work until the day he was taken up to heaven. Before he was taken up, he gave instructions for the power of the Holy Spirit to the men he had chosen as his apostles. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him and they talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus said to them, The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up to heaven, and they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, Galileans, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This is Jesus who was taken from you into heaven. Will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, starting at verse 44. He said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Parting is such sweet sorrow, so says Juliet to Romeo. Words that are often quoted in a myriad of different partings between brothers, sisters, parents and children, lovers, friends, whoever. But another quote that can be all the more appropriate when the parting is particularly painful are Cole Porter's words, Every time we say goodbye, I die a little. That may more readily match the mood of those about to separate. Partings are a feature of life, and they start early. But a great many of us have extreme difficulty dealing with them. To part is to die a little, is a very common feeling. We all have examples of this. The young boy who was very sad because his best friend was going to another school. The woman in her 30s who hates goodbyes and can hardly bring herself to them even at the end of a course of a few weeks or a weekend conference. And then there is the young woman who as a child could never bear to say goodbye. She would hide in the inmost recesses of the house to be spared waving visitors off. When she left university for the last time, one of her friends embraced her with tears in farewell, and although they may still exchange Christmas cards, I don't think they've met since. To part is to die a little. And yet, this death which comes in parting is not only as inevitable as our final departure from this world, our ultimate death. It is also necessary to life and growth. We cannot remain at any one stage in our lives. Change and growth are vital in our lives. We need new experiences and friendships to help us grow. However, we should not abandon the old unless they are inappropriate and hold us back from the way God is leading us, unless they imprison us in ideas and prejudices we have outgrown. And many of our relationships do. The time comes to move on and discover the new, to grow and develop. And parting helps us to do that, even if it means, at the time, we die a little. Parting from others helps us to move from our dependency on them and gives us that ability to move on. In our modern world, we put too much emphasis on self-sufficiency. It's important to stress that as human beings, we are made for each other. None of us can function fully alone. We are called to be a community, both supporting and being supported, at times dependent, at others dependable. But in our relationships, things move on, and at times we have to part in order to move from being dependent on others. That's most obvious as children grow. They learn to do things for themselves, to do things that once only their parents could do for them. Eventually comes a parting, the moving out of home and moving away. This is no bad thing. It's a part of life. It's natural. And so it is in our relationships. If those who read to us when we were little never stopped, then we would never read for ourselves. To change is a part of growth, and parting is a part of that. It helps us to move from our dependency on others and gives us the ability to move on. For those of you who are better gardeners than I, which must mean virtually all of you, the idea of pruning may help to put it in perspective. The cutting off of shoots which would otherwise continue to grow, but in doing so would prevent new growth, healthy growth and richer flowering. So it is in our relationships. Parting is important for development, or else there is little growth and a poorer flowering. We remain stuck, unadventurous, immature. But this isn't just a lecture on life. This is a sermon. So where does God come into it? Well, today's readings tell of the Ascension, which the World Church celebrated last Thursday. This is the ultimate parting of Jesus and his disciples, and indeed his followers. His death on Good Friday was a temporary separation, ended on Easter Day. It is the real presence of Christ, his solid body with the marks of passion, his ability to eat food that reassures the shattered disciples after the resurrection. But now, a permanent parting is to take place. The physical Jesus, the flesh and blood Christ, is to be taken from them. Try to imagine the wonder of those first days and weeks after the resurrection, as the disciples came to terms with what had happened, as they understood the scriptures and all they said about Jesus, the Messiah. And if they thought about spreading this good news, with Christ there, then surely the feeling would have been one of wanting Christ to do it for them. After all, he was the expert. But maybe they didn't even think about it, but were totally caught up in the wonder of the moment. Remember the Transfiguration, the mountaintop, Elijah and Moses present, the wonder of Peter, James and John, the desire of the disciples to hang on to the moment, their inability to realize that there was work to do, and they must come down from the mountain to the valleys and dips of human experience where the people waited with their hurts and pains, diseases and diseases. Now, after the resurrection, the shock and joy of realizing their friend was alive once more is overtaken by the wonder of realizing what this truly means and who he really is. Worship and praise are surely the response. Thanksgiving to God, worship of Christ. What heady days they must have been. And now, Jesus is to part from them permanently. It must have been a shock for them, and a great disappointment. They'd only just got him back after thinking they'd lost him for all time. But without the parting from Christ, the disciples will hang on to him, caught up in the wonder of praise and worship, all very good and noble, but with no desire nor urgency for mission to spread the good news. Without this parting, which would mean them dying a little, there would be no growth, only stagnation and stillness. And without this parting, there would be no gift. In the past, separation from those who have guided us, supported us, or taught us, has caused us to do some things for ourselves and discover unused or unrecognized talents within us. Through these partings, we discover gifts within ourselves or others that were hidden whilst we hung on to someone who meant so much to us. The same is true with the disciples. Without Jesus' parting, there will be no Holy Spirit. Without Jesus leaving them, they will be unfired, uninspired, unempowered. They will always be less than they can be. It is John in his Gospel who records Jesus as saying, "It is better for you that I go away, because if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you." The disciples will not be left forever sheltering in the upper room. They are to be sent out into the world. After the closed upper room will open the open worldwide mission of the church. The days of sorrow are past and tidings of joy will go to all. The disciples are to be witnesses of all that has happened. This is the beginning, which is so central to Christianity. The moment of challenge is also a moment of promise. They are to receive the gift of power from above. Without Jesus' departure, there will be no helper. Without the parting, there can be no gift. And it all raises questions for us. Are we too caught up in the wonder of the moment, but unwilling to leave it behind and move on, ready for worship and praise, but not for mission? Unless we move from the safety of the past and step out and risk, we do not receive the gifts of God. We discover them as we move on, not as we stand still. In the past, when I have met with couples prior to their wedding, we have talked about marriage being a journey. The promises that are made on the wedding day are not the end of a journey. In many ways, they are only the beginning. Wife and husband journey through life together, and as they meet with joy and difficulty, they discover much about themselves and the world around them. It's through this discovery that they grow, both individually and together. When they stop journeying, and therefore discovering, they cease to grow. Life stands still, and this precious thing is in danger of dying. The same is true of the Christian life. It too is a journey of growth and discovery. The journey of faith is very much like the journey which is marriage, with the same opportunities and dangers. And what is true for the disciples is also true for us. As we set out in faith, we too are promised the gift of power. But it's a gift that only comes if we set out on the journey. If we stay at home waiting, we will never discover it. In the film The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion and the Scarecrow all set off to find the wizard, the godlike figure who will give them solutions to their problems and change them into what they want to be. When they finally reach the wizard, after many trials and tribulations, they discover that he's just an ordinary man with problems of his own. But they also discover that the very quest for him has effected the sought-after changes in them. In making the journey, they found they had the answer with them all the time. The same is true for us. Leaving the past behind, stepping out in faith, risking the future, is hard. But unless we continually commit ourselves to that journey, we will never discover all the gifts that Christ offers to us. So as we mark the Ascension, and with Pentecost only a week away, and as we emerge from a pandemic that has challenged us in so many ways, we have some thinking to do. Is our image of the church one that meets for worship and praise, holding on to the past, afraid of parting? For if it is, then growth is in danger of being stifled, and the journey of faith may come to an end when we found somewhere to be comfortable. Or are we able to grasp, as the disciples had to, that parting is a part of life which helps us to grow and flourish and discover the gifts that God has given to us? Then the journey of faith can become a journey of excitement and wonder. Of challenge, yes, but also of promise. And when we step out on that journey, we discover that although the physical Jesus may not be with us, the real Christ is always there beside us. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And he is Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bring our concerns to you, we thank you for all the good things you have bestowed upon us in your world. At the end of Christian Aid Week, we pray for the work of Christian Aid as it focuses on the climate emergency, as well as continuing its work helping to relieve global famine and suffering. Last week was also Mental Health Awareness Week. We pray for all those suffering from mental illness in all its forms, and we know that the COVID pandemic has brought increased pressure on the mental well-being of huge numbers of people. The focus of the week has been on nature and how connecting with nature can ease mental pressures. So, we give thanks to you for creating your world, the green spaces, the flora and the fauna, that can have such a calming influence on everyday life. We pray for the situation in Israel, where the violence continues and both sides in the conflict appear to be more entrenched in their positions. As overseas diplomats try to mediate, we ask you to help de-escalate the violence and to guide those negotiations. We pray for the bereaved on all sides and for those made homeless, either through destruction or through fear. We bring the COVID situation in India before you. In a country with such a large population, with infections spreading rapidly, we pray for those who are suffering, and we ask for you to be close to them and to bring healing where that is your wish. We give thanks for the international aid that is providing vital medical supplies, and we pray that it can be distributed where it is needed most. We pray for our own government leaders and scientists as they interpret the data about COVID in our own country. Give them wisdom to make the right decisions and find that balance between keeping the population safe and getting life and business back to a more normal pattern. Father, we pray for your churches at Wallington and Cheam. We ask that you guide the church leaders as they plan for the future and help us all to discern your will in all our activities over the coming months. We pray for our minister Craig, and we thank you for his teaching and that we can hear your word through him. Finally, we pray for those in our congregations who are unwell, who are awaiting operations or test results. In a moment's silence, we bring before you those known to us. Surround them with your love and comfort them and their families at this difficult time. We ask all these things in the name of your Son. Amen.
Our final hymn. Lord, the light of your love is shining. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Shining in the midst of the darkness, shining, Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine. Glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, Display your lightness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me,
shine on me,
shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine.
Ascension, Lord, we would have lingered on Transfiguration Mount, clung to you in the Easter Garden, been saddened by your Emmaus departure, and begged the Ascension skies never to close. But you have taught us deeper truth. You are not absent, even in departure. Ascension, Lord, travel with us. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and those whom we love, this day and evermore. Amen.